Now, after the Reformation, which had started around 1517 when Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Wittenberg Church, a couple years after that, 1525, there was a bunch of dudes sitting around talking about this stuff, talking about what was going on in the church. There's, you know, this Reformation that's happening, the people actually being saved by grace through faith, and how all these unbiblical stuff got in the church. And they said, hey, buddy, wait a minute. While we're on the topic, pass me a bagel. I've been thinking about this. Why are we baptizing our babies? It ain't in there. There is nothing. And they searched the scriptures and they talked amongst themselves. They said, yeah, you know what? You are absolutely right. It's not in the Bible. Let's stop doing it. In fact, they said, you know, since we were baptized as babies, that really didn't mean anything. We were not exercising faith. We didn't believe the gospel. We couldn't even understand what our mom was saying to us. We don't think that was valid. Since we do believe now, why don't we go ahead and get re-baptized? In fact, I'll baptize Bob, and Bob, you can baptize Dave, and Dave, you can baptize, you know, Sydney over here. And they baptized, re-baptized each other. And that took off like wildfire. It grew and just spread and began taking over that region. And people began to mock them and ridicule them. And they came up with a name for them that was sort of a mockery. And they called them, anybody know? Anabaptists. Anna meaning re-baptized. They were the re-baptizers. And they were using that to ridicule them and make fun of them. It wasn't some lady, you know, Anabaptist over on Main Street. It was this name they were using to ridicule these folks. And at that time, now you and I think, you know, so what, you know, whatever. At the time, that was absolutely scandalous. In fact, it was extremely dangerous because they knew nothing of what we call today separation of church and state. The law was the law, and the law said you baptize your kid or else. And when they began to rebaptize and cast doubt on that particular belief, the reaction was severe. Satan began striking back with all his force, and a severe persecution broke out against these people. In fact, thousands were executed for rebaptizing each other and holding the belief that that should only be for believers. About 2,500 of these Anabaptists were drowned to death in mockery of their baptism. In fact, we have a picture, I think it's a woodcut up there, persecution of the Anabaptists. They're actually taking the guy who got rebaptized by immersion and drowning him as punishment for that. 2,500 approximately Anabaptists perished that way because of the persecution that came against them. Serious stuff. They paid a heavy price for us to have that thing over there in the corner. That came at the cost of multitudes of lives. Now, quick quiz. Who do you think is the modern church today in modern times that are actually the descendants of the Anabaptists? A, Methodist, B, Baptist, C, Shore Christian Fellowship, or D, Amish and Mennonites? I feel like Shrek. Pick me, pick me. What? Who says A? Who says B? Okay, doesn't. Who says C? Okay, who says D? Believe it or not, the answer is D, the Amish and the Mennonites. With some dancing over here going? Oh. The Amish and the Mennonites. Now, the Baptists, they came into being as a sort of a church about 100 years later, 1609. A guy named John Smith in Amsterdam, more or less, is credited with starting the Baptist church. But these were the forerunners, martyrs for the gospel. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later, this baptism by immersion. So anyway, getting back to Acts, Paul asked these guys, did they receive the Holy Spirit? They said they never even heard of the Holy Spirit. And he says, well, into what then were you baptized? And what did they say? Shout it out. Into John's baptism. Okay. Well, what John were they referring to? Was it, quick quiz, John Kennedy, John Travolta, John Meyer, or John the Baptist? How many people say John Kennedy? How about John Travolta? John Meyer. Bree. John the Baptist. See how many people are awake. And the answer is John Travolta. You can see he's taking a break from baptizing there. He's standing in the river. I think he's eating locusts and bit of honey or a chocolate bar or something. Probably a beer, I guess, looking at his gut. Just kidding. No. The real answer is John the Baptist. Give yourself a round of applause. Very, very good. You almost had it, Bree. You're one off. Praise God. John the Baptist. They were baptized into, or you know, they had the baptism of John the Baptist. They probably never met the guy because he was way further south than where they are. Probably that guy Apollos came and told them about what John the Baptist was doing, and then they got baptized, you know, in that kind of a context. But even that answer, when he said, well, you know, what kind of baptism did you have? They said, John the Baptist. Even that is a little bit weird, because if they had heard any of John the Baptist's teaching, they would have heard him say that there was someone coming mightier than him. He's not even worthy to dip down and undo his sandal and carry his sandal. And the one that was coming is not, he said, I'm going to baptize you with water. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. As it says in, I'm sorry. Oh, I didn't put it on that one. Okay. I indeed baptize you with water and repentance, but he's coming after me, who is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So if they were baptized into John's baptism, apparently they missed something else along the way. These guys were really pretty clueless. And he's you know, kind of, you know, taking all this in and thinking, oh, my work's cut out for me. And so basically, he preaches to them about Jesus. He says that, you know, John preached about this one who was coming, meaning Jesus Christ. And he basically shares the gospel with them. Now, their baptism basically wasn't a whole lot more valuable than infant baptism, okay? People are not saved, and I don't want to cast a shadow upon moms who have had their infants baptized, because the idea there is similar to what we do when we dedicate children, when we have a dedication service. We ask for God's grace to help us raise them in the faith. We commit before God and before those watching that we are going to raise them in the faith. And that's a beautiful thing, and I don't want to disparage that, but the actual water itself does not save the child. It basically makes them wet. Yeah. Okay? And their baptism by John apparently didn't mean a whole lot more than that, because they really didn't understand anything about it. They were actually like a multitude of people who may have been baptized in one context or another, but really didn't understand what was going on, either at that time when they were a baby or even now when they look back at it. Multitudes in that position. Babies know nothing about what's going on. Those guys knew next to nothing. And so Paul tells them about Christ. He says, you know, guys, this guy did come on the scene, but I tell you what, he not only lived, he died to pay the price for your sins. They crucified him, and the blood of that cross was there to pay the price for all the sins that have separated you from God. He reconciled you to God, and after he died on the cross, 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He ascended to the right hand of the Majesty on high, and he has poured out the Holy Spirit for those who will receive him and believe. And he probably said, oh, Son of God. And verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that brings me to the second form of baptism I want to talk about here, and that is believers' baptism. Believers' baptism. And that is a baptism for those who have made a profession of faith in Christ. People who have received Christ as their Lord and Savior. It is something they do to tell God and the world and to tell themselves that they now belong to Him. They have died to sin, died to the world, and now they are risen with Christ to walk in newness of life. How many people have been baptized since they became a believer? Let me ask you, into what were you baptized? When you were baptized as a believer, let me pose that question one more time. Into what were you baptized? What did it mean? Romans chapter 6. This is what it meant, besides the fact that you were wet and now you had to change your clothes before you go out to lunch with your buddies. Romans 6:3. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Well, that's exciting. You were baptized into His death. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death. So that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And then skipping down to verse 10, for the death that He died to sin once for all, but the life that He lives, He now lives to God. Likewise, you also, if that's you, raise your hand. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Reckon yourselves dead to sin. What is a dead person like? They're dead. That's it. Stiff, dead. You can talk, they won't answer. You can, you know, snap your fingers, they won't respond. You can shine a light in their face, they're not going to blink. You can, like, what was that movie? It just occurred to me. Weekend at Bernie's. You can drag that dead man all over the beach back and forth. You can tow him behind your boat, hit him with the buoy in the water. You can throw him off the porch. You can do all kinds of things, prop him up in the corner. That guy ain't doing nothing. Why? He's dead. So, likewise, reckon yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. Praise God.